I want to say good morning. It is certainly good to be in God's house this morning, and I want to thank Brother Merle for following the Lord this morning. And I've said this, but I'll say it again. You won't ever hinder me. Just follow the Spirit of God. That's who we've come to serve this morning, is God. And if we desire to see things done, we've got to be obedient to His will. Just like how Paul told the church at Thessalonica before he departed from them, he said, "Brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would just have free course." And that's my prayer this morning, is that the word of the Lord would just be able to freely move amongst us this morning. Before we go further, I wonder if anybody has anything upon their hearts they just feel like that needs to be said or done. If not, then we're going to go into that which the Lord has placed upon our hearts. If you got a Bible and you'd like to follow with us, I'm going to take a reading out of the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. The 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. And I feel like I need to start with the first verse there. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 1. Says, "And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, 'If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.' And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, 'Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread.' And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." And I'm going to stop right there for just a few moments of time. We feel the need this morning, before we go any further, that we should bow our heads in a word of prayer. So if you would with me. Our most kind and gracious and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we thank you for your Spirit that we've already felt here this morning. Thank you for the ones to be with us and to worship your name together, Lord. Thank you for your love, for your grace. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would take the reading of your word and that you would bless it, that it be for our good and our benefit, and that it be for your honor and glory. Help us today, Lord, that you free up our hearts and minds of the things of this world. Fill us up with your Spirit. Heavenly Father, let your will be done, Lord, and let your word touch the hearts of all that hear this morning. In your Son's most precious holy name, I do pray and beg it all. Amen. Now, usually, before we preach, we present a title of what the Lord has placed on our hearts, and I really don't have a title for this one this morning, but if I was to say one thing, it would be lifting up Jesus. We read, and last week as we was preaching, I sort of thought that this would go into last week's message about a shining church and how we need to shine as that lighthouse that sits upon a hill for the world to see. Not to see us, but to see Jesus Christ. And my prayer oftentimes anymore is a whole lot like what John said. He said, let me decrease and you increase. We read in 1 Corinthians that Paul even told the church, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I hate to burst anybody's bubble this morning, but you see, us as mankind, there is nothing about us to glory in. There's nothing about us that we can take glory in. Oh, preacher, why are you saying that? And I'll get back to this reading text in a minute. But you see, God, from the dust of the earth, from the dust of the earth created man. And then through his nostrils, man breathed in the breath of life and became a living soul. So what that tells me is that, to put this plainly, and don't mean to sound rude about it, but we're just walking piles of dirt. In all honesty, there is nothing of us to glory in. But there's a whole lot about the man, Jesus Christ, who came from heaven, born of a virgin woman, as a babe in a manger, who died for my sins and rose up the third day. There's something a whole lot special about him. There's something worthy about him. Even the angels and the people there in Revelation sing, worthy is the Lamb of God. And this morning, if we were to sing a praise, you know, I like the song that Brother Mark sung for us. Did I mention that I love him? Just how I worship and adore him. Folks, let me tell you, I relate to the psalmist a lot. In the 116th division of Psalm, he said, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication, my pleading. Folks, let me tell you, on November the 12th of 2006, as a little 7-year-old sinner boy, when I went down to the altar and sought after God for salvation, when he reached down and saved my soul, I'm able to claim this morning, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice, heard my pleading, heard my supplication. And as the psalmist said, he reached into the very clay and he set my feet upon a rock. And he established my goings. Oh, you know, you think of that Mary clay. That clay, it's sinking, you know. I was sinking and deep in sin. And God reached down and saved me from that. Oh, there's something about that man this morning, folks. He deserves all honor and glory and praise. So we see, we get to our reading this morning. I didn't mean to go to all that. That's okay. We're just going to follow the Lord. But you know, we go to our reading there. And we know the story about how Israel was in Egypt's bondage for several hundreds of years. And we read about how God had sent Moses there to set the people free. Whenever they wandered out of Egypt, they were going to Canaan land there. They spent 40 years in the wilderness. Now let me tell you this. I truly believe this morning, and you might not, but I truly believe that they would have stayed exactly where God wanted them to
them 40 years in the wilderness to get to Canaan land. Just to be honest. But you see, the people of Israel, let me tell you, there's a whole lot of resemblance between us and the people of Israel there. We get up on this mountain and we want to thank the Lord and praise Him. Then we're down in the valley where we're just so discouraged. Where it's almost like we're backbiting against God, you know. We forget God. You know, Moses, he spent 40 days on top of Mount Sinai there. And whenever he came back from Mount Sinai, what did he find? He found the children of Israel made a golden calf and started worshiping it. There's a whole lot of resemblance between us and the children of Israel, folks. There's a whole lot of resemblance between me and the people of Israel. Sometimes, if I don't want it, I'll have these idol gods and I'll start worshiping them. Folks, there doesn't need to be any idol gods. Matter of fact, this serpent that was made of bronze, you know, you can read, and I believe it was in 1 Kings. Later on, the children of Israel, they worshipped it as an idol god, and Solomon had to destroy it. But you see, God didn't intend for that to happen, you know. You see, these people, they were complaining and they were murmuring against God. And Moses there, as we read in your reading. And you know, the Bible says that God had sent fiery serpents upon the people of Israel. And it had bitten them. And they went to Moses and asked, pray to God on their behalf. You see, and then God told Moses to create a fiery serpent, a serpent made of brass. And he said, anybody who looks upon this serpent, if he was bit by a serpent, he will live. Now there's a resemblance there that I hope I can get to. But you see, you know, and I'll tell you this, and I don't mean to do this, say this in a joking manner, but as your pastor, I love each and every one of you, and I will lay down my life for each and every one of you, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. But you know, there's one thing, I ain't afraid of my own shadow, I ain't afraid of work, I ain't afraid of much of anything. There's one thing I am afraid of, and I'll stay near, and that's a snake. No matter how big or small, it's a snake. For some reason, I just can't fight that fear. I'm afraid of them. Each time I see one, I have to make an extra door, you know. I'm afraid of snakes. But you see, the Bible tells us about how there was a serpent that was in the Garden of Eden one time. Revelation tells us, and I'm preaching where you're getting at with this. I don't know, but just pray for us. But you see, there was a serpent that was in Genesis one time, there in the Garden of Eden, after God had already told Adam and Eve, he gave them this commandment about how you can eat of all these trees, but there's one tree that you cannot eat of, absolutely not, and that was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat, you would die. And now, folks, let me tell you this. I do believe this morning that when God created heaven and earth, that when God created it, he took a step back and he said, it's very good. But you know what that tells me? It tells me, Brother Scott, that at one point in time, this world had no sin. Amen. It was perfect. Amen. Preacher, how can you say that? See, I don't think God takes a step back and calls anything good and it have sin in it. I just don't think that. But you see, God had told him, Brother Jeff, he said, you cannot eat of a tree of knowledge of good and evil, for the day you eat, you'll die. Right. And you see, that death that he was talking about, it wasn't just a physical death. But even though after they did eat it, they died several years later. Oh, but it was a spiritual death. It was a spiritual separation. You see, I believe that even in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, Brother Mark, I believe that Adam and God had fellowship with each other. They walked together. They talked together. They had fellowship with each other. And sin, by the breaking of that commandment, sin broke that relationship between man and God. It caused a division, a divide. And you know what? There was a serpent that came to Eve one time, Brother Danny. That serpent said, you can eat of this tree. And I'm paraphrasing this. And he said, no, we can eat of all these trees, but we can't eat of the tree knowledge of good and evil, for the day that we eat, we will die. And you see, the Bible tells us that the serpent was more subtle, wise than any other creature there. And you see, the serpent, he told Eve, he said, oh, no, the day you eat of this tree, you won't die. But the day that you eat this tree, you will be like gods, knowing both good and evil. You know what the Bible says after that? That tree looked good in these eyes. Oh, there's a whole lot of things in this world, folks, that look good into people's eyes. Did you know that? You see, and that serpent, I'm trying to get to this. Just bear with me. But you know, we're in a world today that there's many different churches and many different preachers, and they preach many different ways to get to heaven, you know. Some of them say, well, just sign a card. Or some of them say, well, just give me money. But folks, I'm telling you, if you want to know the way to get to heaven, you need to go through and by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hey, you know, we read there. That Eve partook of that tree. You know the story. Eve partook of the tree. Adam partook of the tree. And whenever Adam partook of it, their eyes were open. They saw that they was naked. They made fig leaves so they could hide themselves. And God said, Adam, where are you? And Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked. And God said, well, who told you he was naked? And you know what Adam's saying? Man, it's just like a man. It's just like us men. We want to blame everything on other people. And he said, well, the woman that you gave me, she partook of that tree, and she gave it to me. Oh, but you know what? Those fig leaves there, I don't know if you ever seen a fig leaf. It's real tiny. It doesn't cover much of anything. They were trying to cover themselves with that. Trying to make clothing. But you know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Brother Danny? That all things are naked in the eyes of God.
Amen.
I'm so thankful this morning that salvation isn't up to me to give, but it's through my God. You see, and I'm thankful this morning that God looks in the depths of a man that I can't see. He looks straight and knows their heart's intent. Just like, how over there in 1 Samuel, how Samuel went out to Bethlehem, Judah, to find the people there, another king. And whenever he left, God said, now Samuel, I want you to understand one thing. That whenever you go in search of a king, he said that I don't see the way that, I'm paraphrasing this, I don't see the way that you see things. He's for man judges on the outward appearance. Oh, but I judge and see on what's in the heart.
Amen.
See, let me tell you this, folks. You might tell me this morning, and let me tell you, like I said, I'm so thankful that salvation isn't done by me, because let me tell you, I'd mess it up. But there's people who try to look unto a preacher. And you know, you might fool me. You can fool me. And you can fool Mom and Daddy. You can fool the deacons. But you know what? You cannot fool God. God knows where you stand with Him. God knows where you are. And you see that serpent there. You know who I believe that serpent was. We read in Revelation chapter 12. The Bible tells us that serpent, who is the devil. Oh, folks, let me tell you this. When the children of Israel there, when they were bitten by these fiery serpents, you know, I don't know. I was scared a couple nights ago. The Lord laid this on my heart. And so I started researching snakes and everything. And man, I was scared to even look at them on my phone, you know. But you know, some snakes, some of them ain't venomous, but there's some that's highly venomous. Even people tell you to stay away from them. And when you're hiking, be on the lookout for them. Because that venom, once the snake bites you, it can get in that bloodstream, and it can be very deadly pray for the individual.
And venom, there's only one cure for it. Now venom, depending on it, causes blood clots, causes issues with your nervous system. Some of you might know a whole lot better than what I do, but you know, there's only one cure, as far as I know and understand, for venom. And that's an agent called anti-venom. And the doctors, you know, you got to rush to the hospital so the doctors can inject that into your body. And depending about on how much venom that you that the snake had put into you will depend on how much the venom that the doctors put into you. But let me tell you this, that anti-venom is the total and absolute, most absolute cure for venom to this day. Let me tell you this, folks, if you're lost and separated from God, you're suffering from a sickness that's called sin sickness. And it's something in your veins that's just clotting up your blood. And folks, let me tell you this, there's only one cure for that, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, you see, Moses there, when he made this serpent of brass, he had to lift it up so that way the people can look at it. You see, you know what Jesus said? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all people unto me. Folks, let me tell you, it is important for us as the church of the living God, as His people, that we lift up nobody else except Jesus Christ. Amen. So that way, those that are trying to find a cure, they can look directly at Him. They can find Him. Jesus tells us, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way of salvation, folks, except through and by Jesus Christ. Yeah. Having to look to Him. Now you see, the Bible tells us about how, you know, Paul told Timothy about how Jesus, how He's a mediator between man and God. You see, well, I'm going to back up for just a few moments. You see, now Jesus, when He was on that cross there at Calvary, and He gave up the ghost, and I know that we've said this a couple times, but you know, just bear with us, but you know, there, the tabernacle there, the temple, you see, there was a veil that separated the place of the temple from the holiest of holies. And in the holiest of holies, you see, only the high priest can go in there and make sacrifices unto God, you see. But let me tell you this, when Jesus gave up the ghost that day, and you know, the Bible tells us that the veil, they went and the veil was torn in twain. And you know what that signifies? That all of mankind can have access to the holiest of holies. Oh, how great is it? How great is it to be saved by the grace of God? To not only stand and proclaim to you about what He's done for me, but to know that I have this personal, intimate relationship with the One who created everything. How great is that? Not only that, oh, but all of mankind can have that opportunity. Amen. All of mankind. We read in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, very familiar, but it says, for God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, that they should not perish, that they have this opportunity, that they would not perish, but yet have everlasting life. Bible tells us, now if you read before that, Bible tells us, if you go after that in the 18th verse, Jesus, who was talking to Nicodemus there, He had told him, He said, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, Let me tell you this. I don't know where everybody stands with God this morning. But let me tell you this. If you're lost and separated from God, you need to be prepared for death. It's coming after each and every one of us. And it don't take no rocket scientist to explain that. Death is real, you see. And I'm thankful that I grew up in a family that made sure from an early age that I understood that death was knocking at my door. I remember growing up, about 5, 6, 7 years old, it seems like we were at the funeral constantly, with Daddy preaching funerals, or some distant relative passing away, or somebody he worked with passed away. And folks, let me tell you this, death isn't just limited to anybody that's just of an older age, but it goes after each and every one of us. It is knocking on all of our doors. My sister a lot who passed away, but you know, she was 19 when she died. 19. Young. My uncle, 57. I had a great grandmother. I remember she passed away, 95 years old. And then, Brother Danny, I went to school with some people. I would talk to them in the cafeteria. 14 years old. I'd come to school the next day. The announcement that they were in a deadly car crash. 14. Folks, it's not limited to just an older age. It knows no death, knows no boundaries. Folks, you better be ready to leave. You better be ready. You see, the Bible tells us in the Hebrews that it's appointed unto man once to die. Once to die. There's people who say, well, there's this thing called purgatory. Now, I don't believe the Scriptures teaches that. I can't find that anywhere. But you know, there's people who believe in this thing called purgatory, where they go to this little timeout, and they think that whether or not they've been good enough to go to heaven or bad enough to go to hell. Folks, let me tell you, the Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. Then after this, after death, judgment. And you know what the Bible tells us in Revelation? I believe it was the 20th chapter. Maybe the 22nd chapter, if I'm not wrong. But you know, the Bible tells us that whose name was not found written in the book of life was casted into a lake of fire. It wasn't just tossed. If you look up that definition, the casting means violently thrown. He didn't just toss it in, just open up a door and say, here you go, but casting. There's going to be many people, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, there's going to be many people on that day who say, Lord, Lord, have we not done all these wonderful works in thy names? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. There has to be a spiritual born again experience between man and God. Jesus even told Nicodemus that. He said, you must be born again. Not, you might have to, or you have this choice, but you must be born again. He that believeth not is condemned already. Folks, if you're lost and separated from God, I want to let you know, you die in that condition. You are headed for a devil's hell. Amen? Amen. Plain and simple. No easy way around that. You are lost and separated from God. There's no baptismal regeneration practice that this world proclaims. Folks, it is done through and by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are you saved
through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Once again,
that's why I'm thankful. Salvation isn't part of me. I don't get it. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, let me tell you, some of y'all who's been around me enough to know that if I don't watch it, I have a boastful nature about myself. I like to brag on things. Oh, look what I done this week. Oh, look at this vehicle that I got. You know, look at my wonderful works. But you see, I have nothing to boast about except for the one who reached down and saved my soul. People want to give themselves a pat on the back, folks. We ought to be giving God a pat on the back.
You see, the Bible tells us also in Psalms 51, I promise you, I'm almost done. I know some of you who's been hearing me preach week in and week out, you're probably thinking, yeah, right, brother, you need to stop saying that. But you see, Psalms 51, 17. See, there are sacrifices, too, that have to be made to an almighty God. The sacrifices of God, they are of a broken spirit, in Psalms 51 and 17, and a broken and a contrite heart. And the psalmist finishes out saying, oh God, thou wilt not despise. That word broken, that word contrite, means absolutely crushed. And if you read, you know, about spirits, or if you hear it says contrite heart, you read in the Strong's Concordance about the Hebrew meaning of the word heart. It's where the will of man lies, the pride of man lies, and the passion of man lies. And folks, let me tell you this, that all needs to be broken down before an almighty God. There has to come to this point of realization that I cannot save my soul. That my works can't do it. There has to come to this realization that I can't rely on some preacher or some deacon to do it. When I was lost and separated from God, the moment that I truly felt broken was whenever I looked at my dad. And I said, Dad, I don't know what to do. And he said, son, I can't do anything for you. All I could do was pray for you. And you know, as a seven-year-old boy who thought the sun and moon rested upon his daddy's shoulder, that truly crushed me, broke me. But you know, I'm glad that had to happen. Because it showed me that if I wanted to be saved, I didn't need to rely on my daddy. I needed to fully rely on God.
Amen.
Repentance towards God. That's what Paul said in Acts 20 and 20. Repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. No faith in any man except for the one who died for us. As what Paul said, broke down that middle wall of partition. Partition means division. He broke down that dividing wall between man and God. He broke down that sin barrier where me and you is able to know everlasting peace with God. And if you was to ask me this morning, preacher, what is salvation? I will take you to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, where Paul says,
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, us as Baptists, as missionary Baptists, we talk about having a time and place with God. And you see, that time and place, what it really means is there had to be a time that God broke you. There had to be a time that you was broken and you had this realization that you couldn't depend on anybody else except God. And there had to be a time when God took that brokenness and wiped it all away and gave you peace. That is the meaning of a time and place with God. When God reached down and saved my soul. And let me tell you this, if anybody in this world ever desires to be saved by the grace of God, we have to realize how lowly we are as mankind. That as what Paul said, that the whole law would tell us that the whole world is guilty before God. And you know what? When you think about it, we are guilty before God because we are the reason that He had to sacrifice His Son. But let me tell you this. I'm so thankful that this is what Paul said. He's a mediator between man and God. Jesus is. Folks, I'll just read this and I'll sit down and hush it for the day. But you read in Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah was proclaiming to the people. And he uses a word, a two-letter word, that we don't use in our English dictionary. He starts it off in the 55th chapter of Isaiah with this exclamation, "Ho!" Meaning, stop what you are doing right now and listen. He said, "Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come. Come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." You see, Jesus paid a debt that you and I could not have paid. He was the perfect sacrifice, the perfect spotless Lamb of God, the perfect sin debt to be paid. If I was crucified for that reason, guess what? There still had to be crucifixions and sacrifices to happen. Because my sacrifice of this wouldn't be good enough. But the sacrifice of Jesus, oh, it's so good. He paid it all once. And let me tell you, it's so good. The Bible says He saves to the uttermost. The sacrifice of Jesus was so good that whenever He saves you, oh, you get it. Whenever He saves you, there's no steps that have to be taken, a process of a salvation. When God implants the peace in your heart, you got it. He saves you completely and wholly to be written in the book of life. And I'm so thankful that my name was written down in the book of life one day. And of course, then after that, the Bible tells us in Paul's writing that we're going to be judged by everything we've done in this body, whether it be good or evil. But that'll be another sermon for another time. But you know, folks, if you've been saved by the grace of God, we've got something to praise God about. That old serpent, the devil, yes, he seeks about. The Bible even
puts it like this in Peter's writing, that he's like a roaring lion seeking whoever he might devour. He's ready, you know, studying about a snake, you know, or serpents, you know, when they, I don't know if you ever seen them like swallow an egg or something, but you see their mouth, it opens up wide and it enlarges it, and you can still see that egg that's in there before their digestive system comes and digests it. Folks, let me tell you this, Satan is seeking to devour whoever. And there's only one way to get rid of that venomous snake, and that's to look up to Jesus Christ. Only one way, and that's through and by Jesus Christ alone. I'm done, as my thoughts have left me. I'm done. I hope and pray somebody got something out of this. I above all pray that God got honor and glory out of it. But you know what? If you're lost and separated from God, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, and find rest for your souls this morning. Sister Rachel, if you don't mind, get us a song. Brother Mark, Brother Danny, if y'all want to accompany her, please do. Let us all stand and sing this morning, and think about what was said and done this morning.